top of the news this evening is speculation concerning the real facts behind the Department of Health announcement about a radioactive spill supposed to have occurred yesterday at the state nuclear plant.
Strange case. No sign of violence, yet she looks completely contorted in fear. Almost as if she'd been frightened to death. As if she'd seen something too horrible to live through.
You're listening to the Really Awful Movies podcast, a celebration of genre cinema. Hi, my name is Chris, and along with Jeff, we talk about movies that aren't really awful at all. Horror, action, kung fu, musicals, post-apocalyptic, women in prison films, and much, much more.
Long Shot is about a little girl with a big mouth and an even bigger talent in her wrists.
Hey, let me see that shot again.
I don't give performances. You want a game? I'll give you a game. Goalie war, 50 cents a point.
You kidding? You'll have to break into your piggy bank.
Put your money where your mouth is, Jim.
I'm proposing we team up and take the foosball spectacular part in Lake Tahoe.
You serious?
Yes, I'm serious. Now, what do you think?
I don't know. 50 grand on the line. She doesn't know.
From our downtown Toronto headquarters, here's episode 219, 1981's Long Shot. Basketball has hoop dreams. Hockey has slap shot. Baseball has the natural.
Field of dreams.
Field of dreams. Boxing has Rocky on the waterfront, if you will.
Cinderella Man.
Oh, my God.
Litany of movies. Million Dollar Baby, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Football has the longest yard.
Arm wrestling has over the top. And now we turn our jaded eyes
even
to...
Even poker has movies. You know, rounders,
oh,
et cetera.
Oh, yeah. Billiards has The Hustler and The Color of Money.
Mm-hmm. I think basically every sport slash parlor game has been rendered cinematically, with the exception of darts. Bowling has Kingpin. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was a great one. Great one.
Movie. There were a lot of, in the early 80s, there were a lot of video game arcade set movies like Joysticks. Not to mention The Wizard that came out in the late 80s with Fred Savage and Christian Slater. So, yeah, I mean, sports is ripe for cinematic glory. You got the thrill of the competition. You've got oftentimes the underdog.
Yeah, the troubles at home and you know, the injuries and the dirty pool being played by the opposing team. You got all this stuff.
And let's not even get into like combat sports other than boxing, like, you know, your wrestling, No Holds Barred, Karate Kid.
Yeah, a slew of...
fighting movies galore, you know?
Yeah, but, well, and until we await with bated breath the definitive, you know, air hockey movie, then we're going to have to enjoy another bar-centric game-type film, and that is foosball.
Okay, so here, sports, cinema, they're made for each other. I mean, you could pull a compelling film out of any sort of competitive game. Shit, I think they've probably even made movies about chess in terms of, like, Bobby Fischer. Didn't they make a, you know, when he took on Deep Blue or something? Did they make a movie about that, if not a documentary?
A documentary for sure, but earlier I want to say Jodie Foster was in that. Was it Searching for Bobby Fischer? Was that the other one? Either way, chess can have like entertaining, compelling narrative.
Even a spelling bee. There was that wonderful documentary Spellbound, you know? But of all the games, of all the sports, of all the competitions, I think the one that can be rendered the least cinematically is fucking foosball, okay? I mean, this is a film that came out in 1981, which leads me to suspect that in the year 1981, there was such a dearth of ideas, which there really wasn't. There was a lot of good movies that came out in 81, but who in God's name pitched this, proposed this, wrote the script, signed the dotted line, studio say, hey, we'll give you however how much money this costs to make a fucking movie about foosball? This was an endurance test.
Yeah, for sure. And it's also, and also ran even in the arcade space. Like, if you had to pick, like, one arcade game, even, like, again, I think it would probably play second fiddle to air hockey and to every other arcade game that would have been at the time.
I love air hockey, dude.
I love it too. So, and that is actually could be rendered better cinematically than this, because it's a bunch of spinning plastic men.
The thing about foosball is that you can't make out heads or tails of what's going on. You're just seeing a whole thing spinning around, and by the time you manage to catch to decipher where the ball is, it's over. The goal is scored. Now, before we get into this movie proper and how we came about it and so on, I just want to ask you, because you know you're of a partial Italian descent. You're actually wearing a shirt right now
with the Carta Geografica di Penisola di Italia, mm-hmm. the map of the peninsular Italian nation here. Yeah, rendered on a shirt as the boot with a spur at the end and a little kind of cutesy shirt.
So this is the question that has been plaguing me for my entire life, and now it's finally going to be settled. What is the difference between foosball and gettoni? Or are they one and the same?
Geez, the name for foosball, the other name it goes by?
Is that what it is? So it's the same game.
I think
Italian people have to give it their own name,
I think it also goes by, and we're getting into the nitty-gritty here, I think table soccer and also table football. Mm-hmm. So whatever way you slice it, it's...
Because I remember in the arcades, I mean, back in high school, we had that Alancourt arcade.
Yeah.
And there was a... gettoni table, because we had a lot of Italian students that would go there. Hey, we got to play some gettoni. Let's play some gettoni. I'm like,
good God,
gettoni. This is foosball. Like, I don't understand. You know,
yeah.
I thought maybe the rules are different. You know, but it was like, it wasn't even gettoni. It's like, we got to play some gettoni. So, but all it is, and remember that game too. There it was a lot of fun. I mean, much better than this bloody foosball gettoni bullshit. The hockey where you pull the levers.
And there's actual hockey men. Yeah. And there's like a plastic enclosure so the puck doesn't like fly out. That was awesome.
Until the puck went to that little area where like no player could get it. Yeah. You know, it happens sometimes. And you have to like bang on the machine to get it to come into the play center.
I'm embarrassed to admit that I was reading up on the Association of International Foosball Competition. And in some circles... the rules do not allow, and this could only make this more boring, but they don't allow you to spin your man in 360 degrees of rotation.
Well, what's the point then?
Well, no, you can only do it 180. Ah. And then, so if you spin it, it's illegal because you can generate more centripetal force.
Because when I played foosball or jets or gettoni, whatever you want to call it, whenever some... one of our high school Italian compatriots, hey buddy, come play some kids. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, right? So all I'd be doing is madly spinning the levers
with one hand on the keeper at all times.
The keeper, I gotta have a goalie.
Yeah.
I'm gonna play without a goalie. I lost my goalie. That's what the movie's all about. And that's all I was doing, was spinning them 360 degrees over and over, hoping, praying that I would get a goal. Now, air hockey, I'm a king, man. I'm awesome at air hockey.
I love air hockey, yeah.
But foosball, never got the hang of it.
Are you an air hockey purist insofar as like air has to actually be pumped through the thing versus the plastic knockoff version? Yeah. So you have to have the air.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, that's tough to find these days in a bar.
I know. Well, I mean, they have it in some movie theaters, Dave & Buster's, etc. I'm also a huge proponent of one of my absolute favorite games from the 80s. This is a game you could buy, you know, at a toy store. A game that would never in a million years be sold today, because this game is probably responsible for more injuries than... I don't even know what. I can't even think of a simile, but... Wayne Gretzky's Rocket Hockey. Did you ever play that thing?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Thing was the most fun and yet the most deadly game ever. Because it was the same thing. You had this like this hard steel puck that you revved up really, really fast and you let it go and then it took
people's eyes out.
There was nothing covering it, and you had your little keeper and you had to score a goal and also prevent the puck from coming into your end. But at the same time, this thing was going so fucking fast, and it got that one of three things would happen. Number one, somebody would hit the steel disc. It wasn't a puck. And it would go flying and hit someone in the forehead, give them a concussion. Number two, it would get snagged in somebody's, the web of their thumb and forefinger. And that would be like hell. Mm-hmm. Or, because the thing was going so fast, you'd want to stop the puck if you wanted to, let's say, mom said, time, stop playing. And the thing was about 250 degrees Fahrenheit. It was so fucking hot.
Jesus.
Wayne Gretzky's Rock Hockey. I love that game, and if I would pay top dollar if I can get it on eBay. I've gone on eBay, and they've had incomplete versions of it, i.e. without the puck. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I want the radar version, so to speak. The one that put kids in the hospital. See, these are all similar games in scope. I mean, it's just knocking something into a goal and trying to defend a goal, right? Air hockey, foosball, Wayne Gretzky's Rocket Hockey, etc.
Yeah, but I mean, to depict this cinematically... is, I would say, next to impossible. Because of all the difference between this, and we made light, you could say we made sport of it in our intro to this show. All these other examples are like, you know, the combination of organism and mechanism. It's the athlete, and it's showing off like something everyone has dreamed to do. Like you want to, like Robert Redford in The Natural. He's this guy, and he hits the home run, and I would venture
major
to say
league.
Major, yeah,
awesome. Yeah,
you know, I would venture to say I will cuss. I try not to. Any fucking moron can play foosball. So,
well,
as opposed
not me,
to
but
like,
anyway.
Well, I mean, like Rocky is like a palooka. He's a tomato can.
Right.
He's a journeyman. He's trying to win the title, and people are saying, no, this guy's too slow. He's not skilled
past
enough.
Past his prime, etc.
Yeah, and that's like, oh, you can relate to someone who's trying to do their best in something that is impressive to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you see an amazing baseball player and you suck, as I do in baseball, I couldn't hit anything lobbed at me at 5 miles an hour. I'm the worst. And when I see, like, Josh Donaldson slugging for the Jays. Like, that's amazing. Who is impressed by foosball to the point where you would go watch it competitively? Like, honestly, all the games.
That was
like,
one of the things that made me, it was hilarious because
the velodrome of foosball.
Like,
100 people watching it.
Exactly. Like, at the climax of this movie, you know, when they're competing for this $50,000 prize, what kind of a foosball following is there that they can create a gate to offer a $50,000 prize, and there was like 300 people watching it. You can't even see there was no screens,
yeah.
So there's nothing like you actually see what's going on. A lot of people deride Over the Top because they say, hey, come on, it's arm wrestling. How can you make a movie about arm wrestling? But first of all, there's more to it than arm wrestling. You got the wonderful family drama between Lincoln Hawk and his son. Number two, you can make it cinematic. You got these big beefy guys.
Yeah,
you got
the strongest man may he prevail. Like, that's immediately compelling.
And Stallone with the foolproof plan of taking that baseball cap, turning it backwards, and going over the top. And I'm going to tell you, when I saw that film in the theater, I went to school the very next day on Monday, and I challenged everybody and anybody to arm wrestling competition.
Losing
time. I was wearing a cap. It did not work. The movies led me astray. I lost every single bloody match. I think my wrist was broken, too.
Oh, my God.
Didn't matter how many times I turn my hat backwards, I could not go over the top. But anyhow.
Well, I was thinking, like, what can be depicted? Because I this ex-colleague of mine, her son competes in League of Legends, which is a video game played in an arena that it's multiplayer around the world. And people watch this on YouTube and they're playing video games, which is a huge phenomenon with multiplayer games. So that raises the question, like, what won't people watch? Like, you know, I mean, golf, dull as hell. Well, even that, Caddyshack, you have great movies there. So something you'd think is just unfilmable. And they make movies out of it.
See,
but this is unfilmable.
Well, like, that's the whole thing I was going to say. Because, I mean, you might say, well, that's unfilmable. And yet they're able to film it. Make it compelling. Make it exciting. Shit, Back to School. Diving. Do you remember? Competitive diving.
Oh, with
Rodney
Dangerfield.
This foosball is unfilmable, and this movie, all it did was prove the fact that it's unfilmable. It's beyond. I mean, this is a movie that you can't believe that it got made. You can't believe that it exists. And as you're watching it, you're dumbfounded. You still can't believe it exists. You're like, I'm watching this right now. I'm in the process of watching this film. This competitive movie about foosball, and I still can't believe what I'm watching. This cannot be serious. I'm getting punked here. I'm being punked.
I could potentially be compelling, possibly. Although, from the get-go, it doesn't do itself any favors, because the main conceit is that there's this foosball tournament, and the guys who are playing it are so into regular foosball, regular soccer, like bend it like Beckham style, that they want to finance, what is it, a trip to finance their soccer dreams in Europe.
Well, the main character,
to win.
Yeah, Paul Rogers is the main character, not to be confused with the lead singer of Bad Company. Right?
And briefly of Queen as well.
And briefly
of
Queen, indeed. Yeah. And he's played by Leif Garrett. And it's interesting because this movie was recommended to us with a lot of caveats. Like, this is going to be a very tough movie to get through by one of our favorite listeners, DM Elms.
Yeah.
And another film which she recommended us do way back when was Don't Go Into the Basement. Was that what it was called?
I think
in
Five, The Devil Rides Five.
Oh, yeah.
The
other
one
exactly,
with Leif Garrett.
Exactly.
The Devil something or other.
Yeah.
The Devil Times Five. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
No, I don't. Was that what it's called?
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Another
both these
forgettable
movies
Leif Garrett
starred Leif Garrett. And so she has now subjected us to two awful Leif. No, the first one was pretty good.
Mm.
This one was awful. And she did warn us. So, wow. All I can say is wow. So we have this character, Paul Rogers. Feel like making love.
Good stuff.
Anyway, he is a legitimate soccer player. And he wants to...
He's not a legitimate soccer player. I mean, the Champions League is being played. The World Cup is this year. The clips they have of these guys playing is all, like, these guys are such mama Lukes, like, on the field. Like, they're, like, house league, like, 12-year-old. Like, this is awful.
Well, anyway, he's given a scholarship to play stateside, but he wants to go to Europe. He wants to play real football, real soccer in Europe, and in doing so, he's going to have to fund his tuition. And so, so what he's going to do is him and his foosball partner in crime, Leroy... Bad Leroy Brown, who's his goalie. They got 2 weeks to train. How do you train for football? For foosball?
I mean, push-ups.
Oh, my God. Wrist exercises?
Yeah, yeah, those squeezy things.
There's only one wrist exercise I know. That
the
not...
sound of one hand clapping.
And he's going to go the distance and make that 50 grand to go to Europe and compete, whatever. The movie starts off promisingly enough because it's got a theme song referencing the title, and every time you have a theme song, it's a long shot.
Yeah, you know we're in for a world of hurt.
For me, that's always a good sign, but it was just downhill from there. oh my Lord.
And a small bone to pick is that this guy's too old to be considered a prospect to play professionally. Like, he's got to be, what, 17, 18? Like, these guys, the big clubs in Europe, Liverpool, your Manchester United, they pluck people from the age of 10 and 11 from their development academies. They're not going to take on this long in the tooth guy. He might as well be Robert Redford in The Natural. But yeah, and the narrative, I guess, this is their plan. This is their, like you're going to forego a fully funded 4-year undergraduate education for some pipe dream to win, and it was, what, 50K, that's it, right? Mm-hmm. And you're going to presumably compete with, what, hundreds of people all over the world? Well, they don't really explain that.
50K is a lot of money, even today, but in
$81. It's true, but it's a long shot to actually, like, achieve that, you know?
The other thing that boggled my mind is that you have this professional foosball circuit where people are actually competing, you know, from bar to bar, place to place, moving up the ranks, etc. And not only that, but you have these moronic duos with these, like, warrior-esque names. Like, our heroes are called the Huevos.
Yeah, the Nuevo Huevos, like the new wavers, like new eggs, like Huevo, like in Spanish. I think that's what it was.
I thought it was this wave, like, you know, catch a wave.
No, I think it was eggs on the thing, and it's new wave eggs. Like, it was a play on words, I think. But either way,
I drifted off a few times as I was watching this. So
It took 3 attempts to get through this.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, there's got to be obstacles to overcome. There's got to be, you know, it can't just be a linear fashion, right? So you have Paul and his best bud Leroy. Now Leroy's a bit of a shit. I mean, he's kind of a bit of a troublemaker, and he ends up getting his hand broken, his wrist broken, right?
Yeah, he's on the injured reserve. He can't compete,
and he ends up getting his wrist broken. I believe he got into a fight. Did he get into a fight? I watched this a week ago, so the memory is
I watched
faded.
It last night, and memory has faded.
Now, so he's got this bandage on his hand, right? And all of a sudden, this dude is out for, like, a month. This bandage looked like, you know, maybe, just maybe, he singed his hand on the stove, and he got maybe third-degree burns. Or the first degree. He got first degree burns. Put a little ointment on it, a little topical ointment. It'll be healed up in 3 days. But he is done. He is finished.
Well, you underestimate the intense rigors and the physicality of the foosball circuit.
Well, especially, I mean, hey,
turning
man.
Those the knobs.
And so Paul needs a goalie. Who is going to be his keeper if Leroy cannot fulfill these duties? Well, it just so happens that there is a legendary player
playing in the underground bowels of the football circuit, somebody by the name of Max, actually Maxine.
Yeah.
Who it turns out is a 14-year-old girl.
Yes. In some of the interesting, I guess, more sexual gender dynamics at play here, is I thought it was a boy, and maybe the character was meant to be a boy.
Well, I think that was intentional to have a bit of...
like a tomboyish kind of thing.
They were trying to have some sort of sexual tension. Will Maxine's unrequited love for Paul break the team apart? Leroy is still acting as her manager.
I did not pick up on these subtle dynamics.
Yeah. I mean, 14, 17, you know, it's a 3-year age gap. I mean, it's...
the hormones are raging.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So, and this Max is supposed to be this tough chick and, you know, one of these sort of like, I don't need anybody. I can take care of myself. Blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. But the actress that played her, I don't even know who it is, was one of the worst performances I've seen, bar none.
Yeah.
I mean, the cow in Battlefield Earth that got blown up, gave a better performance than this actress played Maxine.
The warm beer that we're drinking here, and perhaps in honor of this film and its tepidness, shot out of my nose there for a second.
And then, as this tournament is going on, they're fucking in Europe all of a sudden.
Really?
Were they? I actually put on my notes, they're in France with question mark, because I'm like,
I think it was just the father of one of the love interests.
Right,
yeah,
because his legit girlfriend, Paul's girlfriend. I forget her name.
Yeah, she kept saying bonjour.
And she had an accent, so they weren't in France. I mean,
and then the father disapproved of both the competitive foosball circuit and his daughter's place therein.
It's like Robert Lohan over the top, you know, like disapproving of that no good Lincoln Hawk truck driver, ex-husband of my daughter, and there's no way that he's going to take my son to
this. One of these ne'er-do-wells on the foosball circuit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no way is my daughter going to get involved with that no good Nick. And that's really that's the thrust of the entire thing.
But
what's weird about it is, like, the age and the fact that I guess she's technically a runaway because the Maxine is 14. So what you have is like
she's a runaway.
She's essentially jailbait, and these two, like, in what world would an 18-year-old enlist the help of a 14-year-old girl to go play in a tournament and stay in a hotel with them? Like, on what planet does that happen? It's very, very bizarre. So the cops are looking for them, which adds not a lick of dramatic interest to this plot. And then ultimately, I guess, things coalesce or converge upon this finale, a la, you know, Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you're just to sort of steal a bit of a phrase that you like to use quite a bit, you know, cul-de-sac subplots. I mean, not so much cul-de-sac subplots, but just scenes. It just seems so out of place. Like, at one point, Paul and Leroy decide to go into a tanning bed. For whatever reason, get a little color. Why?
Yeah.
What's the point? What's the significance?
Not sure.
I don't know. Quoting a little bit of Pee Wee's Big Adventure there. Why? What's the significance? I don't know. But the reality is, this entire movie is, what is the significance? What, like, honestly, who, why, where, how?
All the questions that are taught to first year journalism students, none of which we can answer. Like, we've tried our best. There's absolutely no way this could congeal into a viable narrative. There's no way. As you said, this is a game that can only be viewed from the top, and there's same shot over and over again. The finale made me laugh because they were passing this ball between the players and holding it up, and that was like a trick shot that I never thought of in all my years of playing foosball. I don't have maybe there is more to this sport than I gave it credit, because that's a really tough move. I don't know.
Yeah,
this is a rough slog.
Maybe I thought that they were in Europe at one point because this was an international competition. At one point they're playing a German team, but I believe that the ultimate team that they have to best in order to win the money.
Yeah, it's like the Grigiakis brothers.
The Grigiakis brothers, who basically look like Mario and Luigi. You know? A couple Italian stereotypes with big mustaches.
And that's really essentially it. Like, this, and what's strange, there is enough meat from what we've described that potentially something interesting might have happened. I mean, someone's on the lam, you have the cops looking for them, you have a tournament style thing, you have like this discord between the two teammates and this, you know, third party, and, you know, threatening to split them apart, like Yoko Ono and the Beatles. Like, there's meat here, but my God, the musical numbers, like, over and over and over again. Like, they have these nonsense scenes that take place in a bar, which just happens to have some band playing there. Mm. And that, I think we're going to segue into what we've learned.
Well,
because what I learned is Oingo Boingo played in one of these bars, and they're known for...
Were they in this movie?
They were in this movie.
I'm flummoxed. I did not even...
I missed it the first go round, and then I found it. And of course, they're best known for Weird Science. Yeah. And the composer of Hollywood legend is Danny Elfman, who was a member of this shitty band. Mm. So there's tons of Nuevo music in this. And I hope that's right with this new wave thing, or else I'm just like hallucinating and like, oh my God. But yeah, like Oingo Boingo, and that's kind of like a discredit to them that they're like, they didn't need to be.
Well,
this
must have been really early in their career.
I guess
they were going to do anything and everything for exposure. Mm. I mean, they made a movie of their own, you know, a really cool cult film, which I believe, Forbidden Planet perhaps? We'll have time to be that, but I did see a long time ago. Yeah, Danny Elfman's a genius. I mean, in terms of a composer and Oingo Boingo,
Batman and whatever. Yeah,
Simpsons. He did the Simpsons theme. I mean, and their Oingo Boingo was a pretty cool band. I mean, for their time, they really, you know, Weird Science is a iconic scene and an iconic song and an iconic movie. I did not realize. I mean, every song in this movie, whether it be the bands playing, whether it be whatever was playing over the soundtrack, if there was some sort of like foosball training montage, it was just the one word, like the chorus being repeated again and again and again. That was a chorus. So like one would be like animal, and they should be like animal.
The other one, I think You Need to Be Entertained was the Oingo Boingo song. I think that's what it, and yeah, you need to be entertained, you need to be I forget what it was, but there's so much ultimately, like literally and figuratively.
Are you not entertained?
Forgettable about this film. Yep. I mean, my God, this was...
Are you not entertained? Definitely not by this movie. That's hilarious because you need to be entertained, and yet this is a movie that was about as boring as anything I've seen in my entire life. Beyond, I mean, this is a movie that I would...
It's up there.
I would almost
It's on the Mount Rushmore of most deathly boring
this
films.
This is a movie that they can use in fucking Guantanamo Bay. Yeah. Okay? In order to, you know, torture people.
Oh, yeah.
Forget waterboarding, forget pulling nails out, whatever they do. They could just, you know, Clockwork Orange, you know, like eyes open style, eyes open, eyedroppers, and just play this movie on a loop for 24 hours. And people are going to spill their guts.
Indeed. I texted you and I said, this makes Manos, Hands of Fate look like the taking of Pelham 1-2-3. It really is. Like, it's breathtaking and irredeemably dull. It's beyond. It's only, I think, 80 minutes. But there's really very little dialogue, very little even montage, very little...
foosball.
Competitive foosball.
Because the game is so fast, right?
Yeah, yeah. You can't follow the ball. Yeah. Like, Americans complain they can't follow the puck in hockey when they watch it. Yeah, tough to follow. Straightforward narrative that was very tough to follow.
This
is an obscure movie, too.
Oh, without a doubt. If it wasn't for the recommendation, I had not heard of this movie. I would have gone through my entire life not ever knowing that this film existed. Mm-hmm. And... you know, I'm somebody that's pretty well-versed in some pretty obscure movies. And if not me knowing about these movies, hearing about these movies, you know, I speak to people that know a lot of obscure movies. Never once in all the years I've been on this planet talking about cinema has anybody ever mentioned Long Shot starring Leif Garrett from 1981, a movie about foosball. When this was first suggested, I didn't believe it actually existed.
Yeah, and we were under the misguided impression that this would be just uproarious 80s cheeseball fun. Like, I had in mind No Retreat, No Surrender type movie, where it's just this, like, just, you know, badly dated phrases from that time period and the music and just bad fashion and just like a rave-up of fun. And this was just absolutely not that. And I was trying to research this, and there was really nothing online apart from... like some academic book about the queering of cinema that talks about how Leif Garrett was in these homoerotic roles, like Skateboard and this movie that it mentioned, and like, well, it did. Him and Leroy, the tension there was greater than between him and not Maxine, the French girl. Like, so
palpable.
There was nothing.
It was
like,
palpable.
Yeah. And even when you Google Long Shot, like, and movie, like, it's not even on the first page that comes up. So, I mean, I don't know where this thing went. I wish we knew the box office. I don't know who the audience is.
Well, that
there would
was
be no
honestly,
no audience like, for this.
you say we're going to segue into what did we learn. Mm. One of the things I learned is, I mean, obviously this must have gotten a theatrical release in 81. Who the fuck paid money, good money, to see this thing on the big screen opening weekend? Was there somebody, was there one person that wasn't related to anybody involved in this movie who was waiting with bated breath, I cannot wait for Longshot to come out? And when it came out, they were there first in line, only one in line, just slopped down their hard-earned, whatever, $3-4, whatever the movie cost back then, and said, oh, I can't wait to see this thing. Who, honestly, like, it's rare that I'm at a loss for words, but I am at a loss for words.
Reminds me of another thing I learned. Well, this I was thinking about, like, stuff that people perceive to be entertaining. And I remember, like, flipping through the channel some boring Sunday morning, probably hungover or something, and I came across this arena, and there was this music, like, I forget what this band is called. The song is called Can't Stop the Rock. Can't Stop the Rock. And I thought, oh, what is this? Is this wrestling? And there's this big uproar and fanfare as the spotlight shone on this entrance. And the guy comes in, and he's wearing a bowling shirt. And I'm like, what in hell is this? And it was professional darts, which is massively big in the UK. And they will have, like, 10,000 people show up for that, of all things. So I don't even know. I love darts. Uh-huh. I play it in bars all the time. But not, like, I don't know who in hell would watch that.
As I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I think that's the only sport / parlor game / what have you, competitive game that has yet to be made into a film. And
what about that thing that tests your strength where you get a hammer and you like hit like a something and then it shoots up, like, oh yeah, what's that called?
That's always some sort of like interlude in a film when, like, you know, the hero and the love interest go to like the county fair and he wants to impress her and he picks the hammer up and he can barely get the thing over his shoulder, you know.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, I just star rating.
Well, and see, this is where
this is an auditory medium, and your hands are up. What can you say?
This is where I'm going to be. Like, this is very bizarre because, for as much as I loathe this movie, like every second that I spend watching it, for as bored as I was, for as many times as I tuned out, I'm giving this movie my wholehearted recommendation because. You have to see this movie just to confirm that it exists, just so you can go out there and tell your friend that you saw Longshot, a foosball movie, and then spread the virus around. So, objectively, I'm going to give this 1 star, but I'm going to also say, do not let that dissuade you from seeking this movie out. It's on YouTube. That's where we finally got our hands. I don't even know.
It was under like some Spanish title. Yeah.
Was this even given? I know it wasn't released on DVD. I don't even think it was released on VHS. Maybe it was released on Super 8. Oh, I don't God. Know, you know, like, you know, or whatever, those projectors that they used to show us in, like, you know, class. I don't know. 1 star, but at the same time, I am thanking DM for recommending this, and I'm saying to our listeners, do yourself a favor. Just watch the movie.
Oh, my God.
You're going to hate us for it, but watch it anyway, just so that you can then say that you've done it. Sometimes you gotta do things unpleasant just to say you've
done
it.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? So
I'm reminded of John F. Kennedy's speech about going to the moon. We're doing this not because it is easy, but because it is hard. So it was hard to watch this. I tried 4 times. Start and stop, stutter. Like, this was as unbearable as any movie we've ever podcasted. Mm-hmm. Dreadful. I'm going to give it a 1/2 star. But again, like, I agree. You have to see this. Who would have thought that they could stretch a narrative thread through 90 minutes of this thing?
Well, the reality is, they didn't.
Yeah.
They tried. It was a valiant effort, but it failed in every facet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but it's worse. I mean, it's like a car crash. You can't turn your own way. Maybe you might have gone off once or twice like I did, but yeah. I mean,
don't slam the brakes, just, you know, lead foot it right to YouTube. Check this thing out and thank us? I don't know. What is it? Don't thank us? I don't know what, but be sure and check out our podcast every week. The Really Awful Movies podcast, uploaded for your listening pleasure. New episodes celebrating everything that genre film has to offer. And we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.